the rest of last week, we are discussing those types of writing that is in fact permissible Chol HaMoed. And the starting point with writing a Chol HaMoed is that all writing is also. That's what the Mishnah says. You're not allowed to write anything on Chol HaMoed. With the following exceptions. And by the time the Mishnah lists off all the exceptions, we're not sure exactly what's also. So we focus primarily on the first exception of the Mishnah about Kiddushin and Gittin and things of that nature, things which are Ashtari Beizdin, whether they're considered to be Tzorah HaRabim or Davra Aved, different permutations in the Rishonim. But now we have to deal with another possible heter of what is permitted to write on Chol HaMoed. That's what that appears in the Tosefta originally. The Tosefta says that a person is permitted to write cheshbonos, different types of calculation, different types of numbering, keeping track of different business expenses. Those types of things are permitted to write on Chol HaMoed. The question becomes, why is that? What is the nature of the heter of writing cheshbonos on the Chol HaMoed? So if we take a look at the Rambam in the third of the Ramakomos, the Rambam Uchaz Yomtev, Perik Zayin, Halachi Yadalid, so the Rambam writes, Umut Alichtav Igeras Shel, Sheila Shel, B'moed, we'll talk about that a little bit later, about writing letters, or just some correspondence on Chol HaMoed, but the point that we're interested in now is the Kosev Cheshbonosov, Mechashev Yitziyosov. A person is permitted to write all kind of cheshbonos and all kind of shopping lists and what he's spending and receipts and all that kind of stuff. One is permitted to write on Chol HaMoed. Why is that? Says the Rambam, Sheksivos Eilu Ein Adam Nizza B'Tikunon Ba'od V'Nimtzu Kimayt Hejot B'Malacha. Says the Rambam, because these are things that we would use the term in English rather than to write the scribble. These are things you just scribble down notes, you don't write fancy, you don't have a calligrapher, you don't have a professional cipher writing for you. These are what we're classic Maisa Hegios on Chol HaMoed, and therefore they're permissible. So the question is not so fast, therefore they're permissible. Maisa Hegios just stops Mutter, so we're learning about Chol HaMoed for a while, we know that Maisa Hegios is not quite Mutter. There's a difference between Maisa Hegios and Maisa Uman in the following. That a Maisa Uman is basically also under all circumstances, even if there's a Tzorach Hayom, what is not permitted to do a Maisa Uman, unless it's a Davar Ovid or Tzorach Hirab, etc. But for a regular Tzorach Hayom, one is not permitted to do a Maisa Uman, but one is permitted to do a Maisa Hegyot if it's the Tzorach Hayom. If you have that, those two factors combined together, it's a Maisa Hegyot, it's a non-professional, non-skilled type of work, and it enhances the yomtiv, then and only then is it permissible. We already spoke about this several weeks ago. The mocha for this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Ma'akotan that a person is not permitted to bring a piece of clothing that's ripped to a professional tailor to fix, but you are permitted to do it in an abnormal fashion. When you do things in an abnormal fashion, that's considered to be like a Maisa Hegyot. That lowers it down to a non-professional, non-skilled type of work. And since his clothes is ripped, it's a Tzorach HaMoed, therefore it's Mutter. So the Rishonim extrapolated from that Mishnah that basically any time you have a Tzorach HaYom, Tzorach HaMoed, Maisa Hegyot is Mutter.
Can you do a professional person in a non-professional manner to
take the garment? Yes, that's what he said. So the Mishnah says that if an Uman wants to do the job, the Uman has to do it Derech Shinui. If the Uman does it in an abnormal fashion, then it becomes lower to the status of a Maisa Hegyot.
Shouldn't it be
Pula
or shouldn't it be...
Oh, that's really the old story. That's really the Ekvatal. That the Pashas, the Poskim say, it has to be Nikar mitocha Shinui. So this is also probably what the Rambam is driving at here in Perek Zayin as well, that the writing of cheshbonos is considered to be a non-professional touch, just a scribbler. Everybody knows how to keep their own shopping list. And therefore, if it's a Tzorach HaMoed, so then it would be Mutter. Nevertheless, there are other reasons the Rishonim give as to why perhaps cheshbonos would be mutter. So if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah on the fourth of the Ramakamos, so the Magid Mishnah says in the second line, because of Arambanzal, Shemaisa Hedyot Haim, that these things that we just spoke about the cheshbonos, he's talking about Shel Shalom, and then he continues about the cheshbonos, Shekol Adam Kosev Ktiv Mashayiv Damen Lo, Ulefikech Ein Tzrichen Shinui, Vechein Kosev Chazmenosa Shebetosefta, Vemei Melechas Hedyot Betzor HaMor Hitroha. So the Ramban says Beferish, that what we just said, that if the reason why it's Mutter is because it's a Maisa Hedyot, it's only Mutter if it's Tzor HaMor. So it's a combination of these two factors that permit one to write down the shopping list.
So to do my cheshbonos, to keep up and to balance my checkbook, I would not be allowed to.
Right, because that was not Tzorach HaMoed. Right. V'yesh omrim, says the Magen Mishnah, there are some who say, Mishum dover ha'aved ve'eno nira atkan devar. So he's referring to a Rashba. The Rashba says, no, that you know why cheshbonos are mutter to write on Chol HaMoed? Nothing to do with being my sayad, nothing to do with being tzarech hayom. It's called the dover ha'aved. What's the dover ha'aved? I'm going to forget afterwards. So I know that I bought such and such, and I want to make sure I remember how much I bought, because the shul's paying for part of it, and I'm paying for something else, and yet I'm going to pay me back. All these cheshbonos that have to be taken into consideration, I don't keep them on Chol HaMoed, so I'm going to forget, and someone's going to end up losing money. So says the Rashba, Kosev Adam Cheshbonosav is included under the heading of Davra Aved. So again, this would be different types of cheshbonos. Cheshbonos which are going to cost the person money, potentially cost the person money down the line, that's called the Davra Aved. L'chorah, the Rashba's kula is much more inclusive than the Rambam's kula. According to the Rambam, who is viewing the cheshbonos as being a maisa hejel l'tzarech hamoed, so that is bound by the limitations of l'tzarech hamoed. A maisa hejel, if it's not a dover aved, is only muta if it's a tzarech hamoed. But once you enter into the realm of dover aved, the Rambam said to Gomor, dover aved even now tzarech hamoed is muta. I'm afraid that my field's going to get ruined, even if it's not going to affect my pranos and how. It's Dover Aved is not the Gomor, based of course on the Ritva that we already spoke about many times. So what we have in front of us really is the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashba. What is the Pshat in this Tesefta? That which is the Tesefta says the Cheshbonos of Mutter right. Is this based on Tzarchei HaMoed Maisa Hejo, like the Rambam, or is it based on the Rashba that it's a Dover Aved? What's interesting, based on this Rashba, is that the Rashba is now identified for us, in a sense, a new type of a Dover Aved. The Rashba is taking human memory failure into consideration. The Rashba says that even though Ikaron, this is not a Dover Aved, if a guy has a good memory, it's not going to be a Dover Aved. Remember that Bevi that he spent $82.39 in the bakery from before he found Fum on Chol HaMoed. But since the Maisa, people tend to forget things, so the Rashba says that's also considered to be a Dover Aved.
Why does
the Magen Mishnah say Ve'en Anira? Yeah.
Isn't that the halacha we're about to writing Torah?
That's what we're going to get to. The writing Torah is based on this. Not the other end. So
then the Magen Mishnah disagrees.
Okay, we'll see in a second.
Okay.
So assume like the Rashba for a minute that a person's tendency to forget things qualifies something as being a Dover Aved. Then if we show up for further discussion, how does this play out in terms of other things that a person may forget? So of course, the most famous discussion about this is revolving writing down the Divrei Torah. A person comes to a shiur, a person is learning a Chol HaMoed, he wants to write down and jot down his notes. Is that permissible or not? Can we label that as a Dover Aved? Sometimes it's going to be mutter for other reasons. Sometimes it'll be mutter for tzarech hamoed. Let's say a person is learning a sugya and he has to say a shiur on shmini atzeres or something. So he wants to take notes. So that lechor would be mutter based on maaseh hediyot tzarech hamoed. But assuming it's not tzarech hamoed, he's not going to say a shiur now. He's preparing for shiur for after yontif. So is he permitted to write down his notes or not? So comes the Rashba himself. And as a startling statement, the Rashba, who was the biggest makel and dover aved, who told us that the ability to forget qualifies as a dover aved, says the Rashba, yesh the chalik between cheshbonos and kantis the Divrei Torah. What's the difference? If you would have asked me, I would have said, Divrei Torah is mocham, Divrei Torah is better, it's more of a reason to write Divrei Torah.
Is that the Rashba l'shitasa? Was it the Rashba who said that Dabba Havi doesn't apply to Ruchnias?
No, that's Tzachirabim. Tzachirabim doesn't apply to Ruchnias.
Oh,
right, it comes out similar. It comes out similar. But comes the Rashba and says, no, that you're not allowed to write the Divrei Torah on Chol HaMoed, even if you're afraid you're going to forget. Even if you're afraid you're going to forget, what's that? So says the Rashba, what do you mean you're going to forget the Shir? Says the Rashba. So you'll think it over again the second time around. So says the Rashba, it's a fact. You have to be Rashba to say it. Says the Rashba, there's no such thing as forgetting in terms of learning. If a person is going to forget in terms of learning, it's not a Dover Aved. If you go through the Sugya after Yomtiv, so you come to the same conclusion that you came to one on Chol HaMoed, no big deal. When it comes to Cheshbonos, so I know I went to the store and I bought $84 in the bakery. So I'm not going to have to chazer that on the Yomtiv. So if I forget, I forget. It's long gone. That's it. I'm going to be down $84. It's going to be a Dover Aved. Shichcha. When it comes to Torah, so you open up the Gemara again, open up the Taizim again. You come up with the same condition, you come up with a better condition. That's what the Rashba says, that you can never view Shikha as a Torah as being a Dover Aved. That's like a depressing statement. I mean, the Rashba is holding us all accountable for ever forgetting anything, because it shows we didn't learn it the second time around. So other Rishonim, I guess, for our purposes, are more realistic. I guess they better assess our limited capabilities. The Rizva writes that the Rashba's analysis of Cheshbonos being based on Davar Ovid is correct, and the Rizva says, and therefore you're permitted to write down Divrei Torah on Chol HaMoed because we're afraid you're going to forget. So notwithstanding the Rashba's not addressing that issue of forgetting Divrei Torah, the Rizva says we can't take that into consideration, and therefore it would be permissible for a person to write on Chol HaMoed if he's afraid he's going to forget. The tour quotes from his Rush, from his father, the Rush, that not only was this a theoretical discussion, but this was Mamash Lamaisa, and the tour writes it was Lamaisa in his own life, and the following, that when the Rush would write Shuvas, so in the old days before just pressing a button and making 1,000 copies, so the Rush would get shilas from all over the world, all over Europe, so he would write a tshuva. So he wanted to keep records of his tshuvas. So the only way to keep records of his tshuvas was to write the tshuva twice. So that's what he used to do. So his son, the tour, was in charge of writing the tshuvas. So the Rush would dictate the tshuva, and the tour would write down the actual wording of the tshuva. So the tour writes that during the rest of the year, so his father's practice was, that he would insist that his son write the tshuva twice. Once to send off to the kshoa, and once to keep for the followers, to keep for the Russian's record himself, in case he'd need the shayla, something would come up later. So the tour writes that when sometimes the Russian would write shubas on Chol HaMoed, so the tour writes the Rush would insist that his son write two tshuvas on Chol HaMoed also. He would insist that he keeps a copy of the tshuva on Chol HaMoed. Why? So the Torah says, because obviously the Rush understood, this is like Shechas HaTorah, this is like Cheshbonos. So he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to go through the whole sugya a second time around. So you see that the Rush was down to earth also, like the Ritva, that Shechas HaTorah is also considered to be a consideration, and that would be Mutter.
Why do you write the tshuva the first time?
I mean, why Stam didn't write? I mean, why didn't he wait left the Yontif?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to get to that a little bit later when we talk about writing letters. So there are some Rishonim who say that you're allowed to write letters on Chol HaMoed. Catch this reason. You think the world has changed a little bit? Some Rishonim said, because if you don't write the letter now, Neo Dan Ayala Joe, who's going to ever find the mailman? So you're going to find someone to take your letter. It's going to be a Davar Ovid until the next Pony Express goes out. It's going to be 10 years from now. So therefore, there's a little bit before emails. So comes some Rishonim and say, writing letters to other people is always a Davar Ovid, because you never know when it's going to be able to be done again. So that's what the Rush felt. The Rush guy, he got a Shaila from France, and he's trying to write the tshuva from Germany. So right now, there happens to be a mailman there, so he's not permitted to write the tshuva. Strange, a strange world.
Why can't you say that learning Torah is Ritzorach Hayom? It's a great fulfillment.
You don't even need that. You need to stop.
It's Master Head. I'm writing the Torah. I'm writing over. It helps me learning.
So the question is, was that what the Rush was really doing? The Rush was answering the shadow. Was that really his own? It wasn't like he was going through his own.
For us, when we're learning.
Oh, you mean he should be able to forget about Davar Ovid?
Not because of Davar Ovid.
Oh, you mean the writing helps you learn better. Oh, so there are different people. It depends on what kind of people. Some people thought that's true, that they really don't feel they concretize the sugi until their mom actually write it down. Whereas there are other people who, they understand the sugi fully well without writing it down. They're learning sugi on Shabbos. They got the whole thing down pat. The only thing is they won't remember 10 minutes later. So that's the nuance of a difference. So in a chanami, if it enhances your learning, then it's about the Ralph Sarah Chayom, my Sajjah. If it's just not to forget it, so then you have to come on Davar Ovid. So that's how we pass through this machlekes. So within the Rashba, assuming that shichacha is a consideration of Davar Ovid, do we pass in that forgetting learning is considered to be a Davar Ovid as well? So the Shulchan Aruch in the 5th of the Ramah comes paskins the totally the kula on the shaila. So the Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim and Simitovkuf and Hey Siftas, right? Vim Shama Dvar Chiddush, Mutal Kosvo Kadesh Lo Yishkach. So if a person heard a Zachidish, he's permitted to write it so that he shouldn't forget it. The Chedim Ross Sefer Mechudosh, he saw a new Sefer, he's not going to see it again. Mutal Hatiko, he's permitted to copy the Sefer. Okay, again, a little bit of a different world. So he just got his hands on a Shuvah Rashba or something, so he doesn't copy it now, he'll have to remember the site. If he won't be able to copy it later, he's permitted to copy it right now. That's also considered to be within the category of Davar Ovid. So the Mishnah Berurah in the sixth of the Mamre Kamos seems to go even further than the way than the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah in Tavkuf Mem Hei Sif Tas writes, "V'mshama da v'chiddush, v'uadin the mutal l'shmol l'chadchila k'dei l'karos v'chiddush." Don't think from the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that it means that if you just happen to hear a chiddush, v'diavad shasal chak, you're allowed to write it. You're allowed to go to a shiur in order to hear chiddushim, in order to write. You can go to a shiur with your notebook in hand, and you don't have to feel guilty on Chol HaMoed. Gamin chiluk benim shama chiddush me'acher or chitshahu atmo. So he said it doesn't make a difference whether you heard the chiddush from somebody else or whether you were mechadish it himself. He's coming la'afuke the Rashba. The harbi zimnin matzish adam shechech ma shechidish kvar v'en yach lechadish achakach. So he said don't say like the Rashba who said that anything that you came to your own chiddush, so big deal, just learn the sig again and you'll be re-mechadish it. It's not a davar. Rabbi Mishmur says no, none of that is true. We're chayshesh for our reality is that shechet satar is always a davar of it. So now the Mishnah Berurah has something which is somewhat difficult to understand. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Afilu below ta'am shichacha." He says, let's say a person has a very good memory and it's chalamoy, how many days chalamoy? 4 days. So he's learning on the last day of chalamoy. He's not going to forget. He's learning Lashon HaRab in the afternoon, so he's not afraid. He'll be able to write it down. He's not afraid he's going to forget anything. So says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe he could still be make a why. "Afilu below ta'am shichacha." That since a person is mechuyev every second to be learning, ulechadish bo kefi yacholto, and to be mechadish chiddush Torah whenever he can, ein shayach lo meyamtin aracha yamtif. As yichta lechiddush, so he says you can't make a chesed and say that just wait 48 hours and you write the chiddush matzoyim to Torah. The oso zman yel of chiyev acher. So he says no, because that's going to be like a dover of it from Motzoy Yom Tov. You misakem mekseves achedushim shalom besoch hamoed. Yitzdarich lomot sheinis mashemoed lomot kvar ulahaskim mashachidish mekvar. Because they yivat leno milimu chidushim acherim baosah shah. The eimuch a dover of it godom izeh. So says the Mishnah Berurah that you don't make a cheshbon every time you're learning a chalamoed. Am I going to forget this? Am I not going to forget this? He says, just the fact that you have to learn a chalamoed, and you got to learn on Yom Tov, you got to learn Motzoy Yom Tov. So if you can start to dream Motzoy Yom Tov and take another hour to reconstruct what you learned on chalamoed, you'll be able to do it. But it's going to take an hour to do it, so that's considered to be like a dover of it as well.
Wow.
It's very, a few days, I don't understand the Mishnah Berurah. What kind of dover is that?
It seems to be some type of kiyum mitzvah, not in the Limud Torah, Yom Belayla, but some type of kiyum mitzvah in something like unique, produced.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to be Mechadish Chedushim, but it's not Bittul Torah if you're not. It's not Bittul Torah if you're Chazrim, what you learned from 3 days.
I'm saying that it's a greater kiyum of Limud Torah to learn something new, and right. Chazara.
I'm not sure what he's saying. I don't understand this. If this is true, that it's called Dover Ovid of Limud HaTorah because it's costing you time from learning later, that's called Dover Ovid. So that is Shiloh. I'm sure a real Shiloh person asked me, an individual who during the year, so he would take off some time from his business every day. He would close his business and come to Yeshiva and Yeshiva for an hour. She's been doing this for 20 years. So he said to me that he always has a dilemma on Chalamoid because there are some times during the year when it's tough for him. It's hard for him to close the business all the time. So he has to miss Shiurim here and there. So he made a cheshbon that a Chalamoid is not Yeshiva on Chalamoid. So he could theoretically work harder on Chol HaMoed, put in more hours on Chol HaMoed than he would do on a normal weekday, thereby enabling him to be able to come to Shiur extra during the course of the year. That was his cheshbon. So it was honest. To me, it was like, yeah, this is Bach. I'm the Kulam Tzadiki. He wants to work more on Chol HaMoed so he can learn more during the rest of the year. So he's like, backwards a little bit. But that was his cheshbon. So you want to know, is that mutter or not? Can you call that a dover aved, the hours of learning that he's going to, that he would otherwise lose, but it's going to work during the rest of the year? So my initial reaction was, that's not called a dover aved. That's like, in a sense, like menias harevach, so to speak. That means you're not gaining a profit. You're not gaining those extra hours of learning. That's not really a dover aved. You can't justify extra work in chalamoid for that, even though it's going to cost them time, quote unquote, cost them times of learning. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to revisit the question. According to the Mishnah Berurah, so since the person has mechuyev to learn every second as much as he can learn, so any time that he's losing, the Mishnah Berurah is talking, he's not even going to lose learning, he's going to lose quality learning. The Mishnah Berurah says that losing higher quality learning on Matzah Yom Tov is called a davar of it also. I don't know, I think I was still hesitant to be makel for this. So
I don't think the Mishnah Berurah would permit that, but the Mishnah Berurah would say, that day, close your store and then sit and learn. I don't think the Mishnah Berurah would allow, just like...
Which day?
Cholamoid.
No, but...
That day is chayav to learn.
No, but this guy's cheshbon is that he learns more when he comes to shiur. He comes to shiva. That's his much higher learning. So this guy's cheshbon was that if I work for 8 hours in chalamayit, so I'll be able to come to 8 more shiurim during the course of the year, which will enable me to learn a higher level. So the Mishnah Berurah is opening up a pesach that learning on a higher level is also called the davar avid. That's what Mishnah Berurah sounds like. So for this guy, his going to shiur is a better learning than him sitting and being mavis head for himself or something.
Well, said something much more profound. What you didn't learn today and you will learn tomorrow doesn't compare what you didn't learn today.
Right.
It's over with. Time is time.
Right.
So in Mela, it's not that you can recoup it.
Right. Even if you can recoup the facts, you can't get back that time. That's what Mishnah Berurah is saying, right? Right. So again, I'm not sure where the Mishnah Berurah got this from. This is a tremendous chiddush. This is not what the Rishonim say. The Rashba says the whole thing is not a davar avid. The Ritva says it's a davar avid because you're going to forget what you learned. Well, the impression you get from the Rosh and the Torah, he was going to forget that tshuva itself. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the Mishnah Berurah says. And then he says, then the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ve'idu ala bachzau shekasav chibura v'chalamayin," that the Bach wrote his Bach on the tour, his parish of the Bach used to work on Chol HaMoed itself. Even though it wasn't coming out on Chol HaMoed, it wasn't a Tzarech HaYom, he held that was called a Davar Avid.
When we say Davar Avid, we're not really projecting what we can lose in a month or 2 months from now so much. It's more of a Metzius now and past, or it's Davar Avid even, or it's like the example of the storekeeper. Or it's Davar Avid is something specific that if you he's going to be nichshal that he won't. He's going to lose his field. He's going to lose his crops. He's going to lose something. Not the potential to make anything on a higher level. Not to have like a better crop.
Right. Well, that's minyas harevach. Right. That's usually called not right. called a davar avid.
So learning in the constitute would be an elevation of an improvement of one.
So that's what I would assume. But that Belzer says no. That's davar avid because since you're mechuyev to be learning all the time. So time is lost. So any time that you lose of learning, so even though you're going to be learning afterwards, but it's going to cost you in time to review what you learned previously, and you could have otherwise avoided that, that's called a davar avid. Very, very interesting. So comes Mr. Buhr, even though he realizes what a tremendous coolie he just had, and we come up and he's Zard, the Ksivas Chidusha, Sheikhtav, Ksivas Meshita. So he says you should write in script, you know, in script, or Rashi script or something, or a week old script, rather than writing in Ksav Ashuris. You have to write a certain letter in Ksav Ashuris, Yichtav Os Shavar. You should write the letter, you should break the letter in half. So we're going to get
Meshita
script. Is that like we write. I think Mishonim already used it. I'm not sure where it comes from. I'm not sure, but it describes script, so it's referring to script.
So what's the advantage of?
Oh, so we're going to gather this. So we already jumped ahead a little bit. So hopefully we're going to gather this probably next week as to what's the difference between whether you're writing in block print like Samashuris, whether you're writing in script, or whether you're writing in broken letters. So we're going to have to get to that in the next half of the sugya. But a core part of it, one thing that we do have is we have this tasefta about cheshbonos. So cheshbonos is mutter, no question about it. What's the heter? So the Rambam and the Ramban said the heter is based on Maisa Hejo, which we added just to add that nekuda of that it's Maisa Hejo L'Tzor HaMoed. According to the Rashba and the Ritva, it's based on Dover Aved. And within the cool of Dover Aved, we had a further machlokes, how does this carry over to Divrei Torah? The Rashi put the brakes on Divrei Torah. The Ritva extended Divrei Torah, and the Mishnah Berurah took the Ritva even further than the Ritva himself seemed to have gone. So now we move on to the next part, which is at least according to some Rishonim is related, and that's we go back to the Rambam in Halachi Yadala. The Rambam is quoting from the Mishnah. The Rambam writes back to the end of the third of Mamakamos. Umuta lichtav igrels shel sheila shalom b'moed. A person is permitted to write. A person is permitted to write letters, just shalom, shalom, write a nice postcard on Chol HaMoed. That would be permissible as well. Where did the Rambam get it from? So we got it from if you go back to the first of the Rambam Kamos, the last the three words in the Mishnah, and the first of the Rambam Kamos is Chasam Beis, the Igrel Shal Rishus. The Mishnah says that one is permitted to write voluntary letters. Letters come for no real significant purpose, is mutter. So the Rambam, most of the Rishonim understood the Igrel Shal Rishus refers to literally just plain and simple letters of friendship between people. Why is that mutter? So the Rambam, going back to the Rambam now, the Rambam writes, Shabiksivas Eila Einada Mizab Tikunim Ood, Vinim Tukumai Tehajikum Lochos. So the Rambam says the reason why it's mutter is the same reason why the Cheshbonos is mutter, because it's a nice hedyot. When people write letters, they just scribble the letter quickly and they don't get a professional scribe to write it for you. And it's Litzorech HaMoed. Why is it Litzorech HaMoed? Because the other guy's going to get the letter on Chol HaMoed. He's going to get the letter on Chol HaMoed. He's going to be so happy. Ah, oh, my friend, my well-wished friend remembered me. He's going to give the other guy a simple yontif. Presumably that's called Litzorech HaMoed. The implication of the Rambam is, if you write an Igeret Sholom, and you know for a fact, you're putting it to the mailbox as you're on the way to Mincha on Hashanah Rabbah, it's not going to get there, so not to Simchas Torah, even to get to the guy who won't open it to live to Simchas Torah. So that's not considered to be included in this hetzer. That's a simple pshat of the Rambam. So comes the...
You can't mail letters on your...
So you wouldn't be permitted... Well, I didn't say to mail it, I said to write it. Mailing is a different... There's a whole different story. It's another block and off. Potentially. So comes the Raivin on that Rambam in Halach Yadal, the end of the third of the Rambam Kamos. So the Raivin writes, in the second line, Mutti Lodom Lichta Vigersh Shel Shalom, Om Avram, Shel Shalom, Shema Lo Yizdam and Lo Molech Aksav. This is what I referred to before, that we're afraid that maybe you won't get a mailman. Since you won't get a mailman, therefore it's considered to be like a Dover Aved, you won't be able to do it after Yomtif, and therefore it's Mutter. So we have a Machlaikis between the Rambam and the Raivin. What's the nature of this Heter of Yigarash or Rishos? According to the Rambam, it's Torah Hamoid, my Sehadiyot. According to the Raivin, it's a Dover Aved. So obviously the Raivin's cool is not going to apply this man as well. We assume that hopefully the U.S. Postal Service is still going to be working after Simchas Torah. So obviously that would not be a Heter.
Yeah, but somebody goes to us and he wants to give somebody a note to a person in our society.
Okay, you mean...
That's an opportunity.
Okay. Maybe the question is, how much of a dover of it is that really, you know, I mean... Hey, I know when I was in Kirby Avenue, so there was always a list on the wall as to who's going to America to take mail. But with mice, there is such a thing called regular mail. And the white guys had felt they had to save themselves. So I don't know what I would call that dover of it, I'm not sure.
According to the Rambam, Torah HaMoed is for the receiver.
Tosh, that's right.
So it's, but in those days... Even if you wrote on the first day of Chol HaMoed, then never
it depends where it was going. It could be going to the next town. It could be. I don't think they were saying such tremendous air mail in those days.
But that has to go into your calculation.
I think so. I think so.
The receiver has to receive it on Chol HaMoed.
I think so. Otherwise, what's the tzarech? Why is it tough for me to write the letter?
You have to give it, send it to the Rebbe. He's gone to the Rebbe.
So Shemo Yisam means I'll never find him?
It means it's a possibility though, we'll be able to get this mail out. Unless you want to type some kind of time-sensitive material. Okay, so then Dr. Meldo will be right. It's something that has to get there in the next couple of days. So then, Shevel Lo Yizdam in Lo Acher, right? Maybe in a Chinami. So again, we have two different opinions in the Rishon, what's the Heter of Igrash or Rishos. This is of course assuming that we translated Igrash or Rishos properly. So Rashi on the Mishnah says that Igrash or Rishos doesn't mean that. Rashi quotes the Yesh Omerim, Igrash Rishus means Roshus, like Hizar of Roshus, means the government. Igrash Rishus doesn't mean Rishus, things that are just stop writing letters. Writing letters, you know, letters of Chol HaMoed. It means government documents you're permitted to write. Why are you permitted to write government documents on Chol HaMoed? So the Pashas HaDover is because it's a Dover of it. Why is it a Dover of it? Because you're thrown into jail. It means it's talking about some legal thing that the government sends you something and they say you have to respond within 24 hours. Whatever it is. So if you don't, you're going to get tossed into jail. Like, someone was just telling me the story. They got a couple of parking tickets, and they got a summons, and they ignored the summons. They ignored another summons, whatever it was. So guess what? They were not only was their car Dover Aved, the car was towed, they were Dover Aved. They were arrested for contempt of court for not responding to a summons. So that's a Dover Aved. So that's what Rashi says. That's trying to get Shur Shus. But stomp to write a letter, stomp for kicks. So who said that's going to be Mutter? So again, so we know there's some kind of Heter out there, Igrash or Rishus, so we're not sure what it means, whether the Rambam and the Raivin are right that it means just stomp friendly letters, or whether it means like Rashi's government types of documents. But and even within those Rishonim will say it means Igrash or Rishus, means Igrash or Shalom, that's a further machlokes, is what's the nature of the Heter? Is it Tzarech HaMoed with a Maaseh HaYod, or is it based on Dover Aved? I'll continue a little bit more
on this.
So, the letters that the other guy did feel good, he's going to get his letter.
Now, do you have to be
Mekatzer?
Oh.
Whatever
is it?
Hutra, the Kuya, whatever the Tzarech HaMoed is, Mutter.
Okay.
Maybe could you write in extra things like, you know, how are the kids, how was this, how was that, things which are not necessary, probably not. You should probably write whatever is the Tachamot. Right.
So one time is that the receipt one will have a no.
Right, either a no or sorry, the other time is that the brother. No, because I have to get this letter to him for whatever reason, and if I don't get it now, I won't find the mailman if he has it. So whatever tzorach I have for getting that letter there is going to be
wrong. Right,
whatever it is, either his need, my need, whatever it is, I have to make this correspondence. If I don't do it now, it's going to get
something else.
The stomach, you know, it's got to be tzorach in there that the recipient needs.